Pastor Ray Bentley points out how we should be blessing others as we have been blessed.
Begin exercising not only your right, but your authority to begin blessing those around you. Here's when you know you're growing as a Christian, where you not just enjoy being blessed, but you realize you're so blessed at some point, it is your joy to start blessing those around you.
Spread the news.
Welcome to Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel, to the whole world. God blesses people. It's one of His specialties. Some people are reservoirs of God's blessings. Other people are conduits of those blessings. Some hold them tightly. Others share them freely. Today, we'll see that blessings are double blessings when we see them make a difference in someone else's life.
It was the Joshua generation who were able to declare victory for God's glory. Now, this is very, very important because we've gone through the story starting in Genesis with Abraham, where it all started. God made a promise and revealed Himself. Look, there's not many gods. I'm it. And I am the creator of all things, and I rule and I reign. He revealed Himself to Abraham, and then unto Isaac, and then to Jacob, and then comes Moses and the deliverance out of Egypt. But it wasn't until the days of Joshua, it was the Joshua generation that was the first generation of the children of Israel to actually step into and on and inherit the promised land. So where we're at in chapter 22, the major war for the conquest of Canaan is finished. So they get planted there, they get to go to the land, they get to inherit it, they get to be blessed in that land. But now let's go to the next life lesson. And I love this one. The Lord has given believers not just the right or the ability, we have been given the authority to bless others. Now look with me, beginning in verse 5, what Joshua says. He says, now, so he's addressing these three tribes that are headed to the other side of the Jordan. He says, now take careful heed to do the commandment and the law which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all His ways, to keep His commandments, to hold fast to Him, and to serve Him with all of your heart and with all your soul. And then, so Joshua blessed them. I want you to underline that. He gave them a commission, do it with all your heart, love the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and then He blessed them, and He sent them away, and they went to their tents. Verse 7, now to the half-tribe of Manasseh, Moses had given a possession in Bashan, but to the other half of it, Joshua gave a possession among their brethren on this side of the Jordan, westward. And indeed, when Joshua sent them away to their tents, he blessed them. Underline it again, twice. It says he blessed these three tribes, Reuben, Gad, Manasseh. And he spoke to them saying, return with much riches. So now he verbalizes what he wants to bless them in. May the Lord give you much riches. He goes, I want your tribes to thrive in that land where you're going. And very much livestock. Well, the reason those three tribes chose the land on the eastern side of Jordan is it was really good for cattle. And they were really good with cattle. So he goes, so may the Lord bless you in your endeavors. May you have much livestock. In fact, may you be so successful in the livestock business, may you also be blessed with silver and with gold. Those are valuable. You know, you can't eat gold, you can't, you know, silver. They are of value because of their beauty and are a treasure, not only from ancient times, but even modern times as having value. But he also adds, and with bronze and with iron. May you be blessed with other metals that you can turn into tools and implements of gardening and whatever else that you may need. And may you be so blessed and prosper so much that you have very much clothing. That you have clothing wherever you are and for whatever you need. And that you get to spoil your wife and spoil your children and spoil your grandchildren and the generations and divide the spoil of your enemies with your brethren. So the children of Reuben and the children of Gad and the half-tribe of Manasseh returned, and they departed from the children of Israel at Shiloh, which is in the land of Canaan, to go to the country of Gilead. Gilead is the border, you know, it's on the other side, the eastern side of the Jordan River, to the land of their possession. And then listen to this, which they obtained according to the word of the Lord by the hand of Moses. Now, I want you to realize a shift has happened, because originally that's not the land. God had a portion to them, but it was allowed to happen. And now we read, it is the land they obtained according to the word of the Lord by the hand of Moses. God made an allowance, and he brought them there, and Joshua is blessing them in that land that is by the ministry of the Lord. So what's beautiful is Joshua is giving them a blessing. It's not like, well, I didn't want to give it to you, God didn't want to give it to you, but go ahead. It was like, no, may the Lord bless you. May the Lord prosper you. May the Lord visit you. May he enrich you in all ways. And I want to say to you that our Father in heaven, his nature is to bless those whom he loves. He's so big. He's so mighty. He's so powerful. He's so rich. But he likes to use all of that power and might and wisdom and wealth to spoil his sons and daughters with blessings. I'm okay with that. Are you okay with that? He blesses me way beyond what I did for him. And it begins drawing you like, wow, so you mean I could get more blessing if I seek him more? And it just draws you into wanting to experience that. But there's something else here. Because the Father's joy is that his children, as they grow, start emulating him. They bear his nature. They start thinking like him, acting like him, believing like him. So what does that mean? Here's when you know you're growing as a Christian, where you not just enjoy being blessed, but you realize you're so blessed at some point, it is your joy to start blessing those around you. And you begin blessing them. And may I say, you and I, we don't even just have the privilege or the right to do it. There's an authority. We are the sons and the daughters of God. We have an ability, just as Joshua not only gave a general, hey, be blessed as you guys leave, he specified, and be blessed in this, and in this, and in this, and in this. I want to encourage all of you who are here to begin exercising not only your right, but your authority to begin blessing those around you. I'll tell you something. People like to be around people that are blessing others. And you want to hang around people that are a blessing. I have known some of the most spiritual, godly people I know. And the reason I like them so much is I always get blessed by them when I'm around them. And I want to emulate them, and I want to be like them. One of the greatest gifts the Lord has given each one of us is that we have the authority to bless one another in the name of the Lord. You can bless your spouse. And you can begin getting specific, and may you be blessed here and here and here and here. You can bless your sons and your daughters, and may the Lord bless you in this, and may he bless you in that. And you verbalize it. It's almost like a prophecy. It's the Spirit and the heart of the Father flowing through you to be a blessing. And guess what? God wants his children in the church to go throughout the earth blessing their community. And we don't have to wait until they become believers so we can bless them. But Jesus gave us another example that you bless those who are even your enemies, those who curse you. We bless them because the blessings of God will conquer the curses of the enemy. And it will provoke them to jealousy. And the goodness of God leads to repentance. Amen? So read with me Proverbs chapter 11, verse 25. A lot of wisdom in the book of Proverbs. Let's read this verse out loud. The person who blesses others will prosper. He who satisfies others will be satisfied himself. Turn to somebody near you and say, be blessed in the name of the Lord. Just go turn around and say a blessing on one another. Okay, so now I'm going to do something unusual. I'm going to use an example of Indiana Jones. How many of you saw the film, The Raiders of the Lost Ark? and looking for the Ark of the Covenant and all of that. And then, why am I throwing that in? Well, there's a part in the movie that goes to this place called Petra. These verses that we're talking about, these three tribes that cross the Jordan River, go into a land that God prophesies about, and they relate to the prophetic significance of the modern country of Jordan. It's important to realize the tribes of Reuben, Gad, half-tribe of Manasseh are blessed way into the future of the Bible and in Bible prophecy. And, you know, as I have mentioned to you recently, second to the nation of Israel, there are more Bible prophecies about the country of Jordan than any other country in the world. Aaron, the high priest, is buried in Jordan. Moses, the man who spoke to God face to face and whom God did signs and wonders that no one in human history has done other than the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Moses is buried in the land of Jordan. And this land of Jordan is where the Bible prophets declare the Jewish people at the very end days will be hidden from the devil and the armies of the Antichrist. So what I want to share with you, and I've only got a few minutes to do it, but I want you to hold your finger there in Joshua, but skip with me to Isaiah chapter 16. I want to give you two scriptures about the country of Jordan that prophesy about their future, which I believe is impending and near to be fulfilled, maybe in the days that are just ahead. In Isaiah chapter 16, beginning with verse 1, it says, "Send the lamb to the ruler of the land from Selah to the wilderness." Now, the Hebrew word Selah means the rock fortress. Guess what the Greek word is for it? Petra. "To the mount of the daughter of Zion, for it shall be as a wandering bird thrown out of her nest." It's talking about the Jewish people getting thrown out of their nest, which is the land of Israel. "So shall be the daughters of Moab at the fords of Arnon." Moab is an Old Testament name for the country of Jordan. Verse 3, "Take counsel, execute judgment, make your shadow like the night in the middle of the day." And then here's what the Lord is saying to Moab or to Jordan, "Hide the outcasts." What outcasts? The Jewish people. "Do not betray him who escapes." Who escape what? From Israel. "Let my outcasts dwell with you, O Moab," or "O Jordan. Be a shelter to them from the face of the spoiler." Who's the spoiler? "For the extortioner is at hand." I believe that's referring to the Antichrist. "Devastation ceases. The oppressors are consumed out of the land. In mercy, the throne will be established." This is talking about the kingdom. "And one will sit on it in truth in the tabernacle of David, judging and seeking justice and hastening righteousness." So this seems to, you know, be talking about Petra in Jordan will be a place of hiding the Jewish people at the very end of the tribulation. Here, Jesus comes to rescue his people and bringing the kingdom of heaven. Now, turn with me very quick. One more scripture, Isaiah 63. In Isaiah chapter 63, we find the prophet Isaiah, some 2,700 years ago, he sees a vision. He sees a man coming out of Edom. Who is this who comes from Edom? Read Jordan. He sees a man with dyed garments from Bozrah. Bozrah is the Hebrew name for the Greek Petra again, or Selah. And here's what he describes, this man coming out of Jordan, this one who is glorious in his apparel. Isaiah says, "I see a man, but he's glowing with the glory of God, and like the Shekinah glory, traveling in the greatness of his strength." In other words, he is super strong. And now, the man whom he sees that's glowing speaks. That's why there's quotation marks. And here's what the man glowing says, "I who speak in righteousness, mighty to save." Now, only one man can answer, "I that speak in righteousness." That's Jesus. There's only one man who has the power that is mighty to save. It is none other than Jesus the Messiah, who is marching toward Jerusalem from the land of Edom or Jordan. But then in verse 2, he says, "Why is your apparel red?" So he sees this glowing man coming, but his apparel is red, and your garments are like one who treads in the winepress. And here are quotations. Here's the glowing man speaking, who's got all this red stains on his garment below. He says, "I have trodden the winepress alone, and from the peoples no one was with me, for I have trodden them in my anger and trampled them in my fury. Their blood is sprinkled upon my garments, and I have stained all my robes." The staining of this blood that is upon Jesus is that when the children of Israel have to flee to this area of Petra, the Antichrist finally comes with the Antichrist and the devil and all the heathens and the demonic hordes against them, and Jesus takes them on and defeats them alone. He destroys the Antichrist, he defeats and overthrows the devil and all of his demonic hordes, but notice, it's not a big fight where we know when Jesus comes, he's coming with millions of angels and tens upon tens of thousands of saints, but we don't fight. There is no fight. It's Jesus alone, glowing with the eternal glory of God. He just opens his mouth, and the Antichrist just melts, just like that German soldier did in the movie, remember? And the staining of the blood is from the armies of the Antichrist. He fights alone. He is all that is needed. And apparently it is after that experience where he defeats the Antichrist and his armies, then he goes to the Mount of Olives. And Jesus makes that triumphal second entry into the city of Jerusalem, sitting upon the throne of David and ruling and reigning forever and ever. Is that awesome or what? So these are the things that are just before us. I say that to you because I want you to pray for the country of Jordan. Pray for the people of Jordan. Pray for the believers in Jordan. Pray for the work that is going on. It is the most important area on the planet, second only to Israel and Jerusalem itself. Okay, so go back to Joshua 22, and I've got one last life lesson that's very important. Let us be careful when we judge others, for many brouhahas are really big misunderstandings. It says in verse 10, "Now when they came to the region of Jordan, which is in the land of Canaan, the children of Reuben and Gad and Manasseh built an altar there by the Jordan, a great impressive altar. Now the children of Israel, the other nine tribes, heard someone say, 'Behold, the children of Reuben, Gad, and Manasseh have built an altar on the frontier of the land of Canaan in the region of the Jordan, on the children of Israel's side.' And when the children of Israel, the other nine tribes, heard of it, the whole congregation of the children of Israel gathered together at Shiloh to go to war against them." They heard that they were building a rival altar and that they were going to do sacrifices and maybe follow some other god. And so the nine tribes gather together. They just heard a rumor. They gather their troops and they're ready to go to war with their own brothers and sisters and to destroy them and defeat them and kill them in war. Now, as we go on to the story, go with me to verse 21. It says, "So that when they finally come and they confront them, and the children of Reuben and Gad and Manasseh answered and said to the heads of the divisions of the nine tribes, 'The Lord God of gods, the Lord God of gods, he knows, let Israel itself know, if it is in rebellion or if in treachery against the Lord, do not save us this day. If we have built another altar to rival, you know, your altar or the altar of the Lord or God, then yeah, kill us this day.' But they go on to explain, 'No, we did not build the altar to do sacrifices or to compete or to worship another god. The reason that we did it is we're on the other side of the Jordan River. It's like a natural boundary. And what about our children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, four or five generations?' And they go, 'What do we have to do with those other people on the other side of the river? Well, let's have our own thing. We want to build this altar as a replica, as a memorial, to remind them, you, children of these three tribes, also belong to the other nine tribes on the other side. But we only have one God. Don't offer sacrifices here. You have to go to the appointed feast of the Lord across the river and be in the land that God gave to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and worship the one true God there. That's why we built it." And as a result of that, the final verses, beginning in verse 31, it says, "Then Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the priest, said to the children of Reuben and Gad and Manasseh, 'This day we perceive that the Lord is among us, because you have not committed a treachery against the Lord, Now you have delivered the children of Israel out of the hand of the Lord. And Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the priest, the rulers returned from the children of Reuben, Gad, and Manasseh, from the land of Gilead to the land of Canaan to the children of Israel, and brought back word to them. So the thing pleased the children of Israel, and the children of Israel blessed God. They spoke no more of going against them in battle to destroy the land where the children of Reuben and Gad dwelt. The children of Reuben and the children of Gad called the altar witness, for it is a witness between us that the Lord alone is God. I want to summarize this by saying it is amazing how often we make judgments based on appearances without really knowing the motives of the other person. And we go to war with our brothers or sisters or another family member or another tribe or another clan, and we start, you know, speaking against them and condemning them and cursing them. And God is going, what are you doing? Did you talk to them? Did you find out what their heart is about? Do you know their motive? You're going to start a war after everything I've done to bring Canaan and bring down their kings and gods? And the whole thing could have blown up in their faces. The enemy is the one that wants to divide the tribes and to divide the body of Christ. It's not of the Lord. The Holy Spirit wants us to bless, and he wants us to unite. And so let us keep the unity of the body of Christ and the family together at all costs. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's bow our heads and let's pray. Father, we just come before you. Thank you for your word. It is, Lord, it's far deeper and richer than we even have time to unfold. But I pray that these beginning insights, Lord, will provoke us to go deeper into the word. And to go further in our walk with you, to learn to be a blessing and to bless others. Lord, to keep from causing wars and divisions unnecessarily and find that we're in agreement with the enemy who wants to divide us as families, as couples, as tribes. So Lord, let you be glorified and let you be honored. And thank you for the privilege of living in such an hour and in such a prophetic time as this. May we live for you wholeheartedly with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And may you be glorified. And it's in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.
Pastor Ray Bentley, closing our study in Joshua today in a word of prayer. And there are just a few messages left in our Joshua studies, so be sure to tune in just as often as you can here on Maranatha Radio. And if you'd like a permanent copy of today's message, contact us and mention the title, Victory. It's available on CD for just $7. Again, it's called Victory. And you can now get Pastor Ray's entire series in Joshua on a single CD. MP3s of every one of Pastor Ray's messages from this series on one compact disc. Order online at maranatharadio.com or address a letter to Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. And we're excited to make available Pastor Ray's latest book, The Holy Land Key. Pastor Ray, how does this resource help us make sense of our world? You know, our culture seems to be spinning out of control. We see examples all around us in the news every day. How will your book help us seek God in the midst of the foggy chaos?
Oh, that's a great question. And one of the things that I learned about prophecy is that it's not only predicting the future. God knows everything. God tells us what's coming. We have signs that we can be looking for, and I think we see many of those signs happening in the world right now. But the other layer is that God reveals patterns. There are things that have already happened in history, as it was in the days of Noah. So shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. There are patterns that are happening right now on the earth that really, for a believer, point us to look up, for Jesus is coming soon.
All right. Well, we hope you'll dig into these important insights yourself by way of Pastor Ray's book, The Holy Land Key. With all that's going on in the world, you can't afford to be unaware of what God has told us about the times in which we live. We'll be glad to send you The Holy Land Key. It's available to Maranatha Radio listeners for just $10. So write us at Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. or order it online at maranatharadio.com. Next time, join Pastor Ray for more from our studies in Joshua. More from God's Word next time on Maranatha Radio. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley is an outreach of Maranatha Chapel, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127.